Hello, Steve Elzinga here again. We're in the coaching class, and this session we're going to deal with managing the plan of action. Remember, coaching is about getting your client to some form of action. It's not just reflecting on the past. It's not trying to understand necessarily, you know, what happened or what, you know, some childhood memory or some background with a father or a mother. It's really about behavior. It's trying to change future behaviors to make a difference in a person's life. So we're trying to get them to a plan of action. And three things that coaches do to accomplish this, you should know these by heart by now. Number one, you help the client figure out what they want to do about their life or some aspect of their life, to make a decision about some kind of action to take. Secondly, you help your client figure out how they want to do that action. What kind of plan are they going to come up with in order to reach the goal that they want to reach? And finally, and that's what we're going to be looking at the next three sessions, help the client do what they plan to do. So you have a goal, you make a plan to reach that goal, and now as your client is trying to attempt to follow through with that goal, you manage that process, or you hold them accountable. Management is the process of accountability as the plan is carried out over time. It's an accountability to a plan. It's not the plan, it's the accountability to the plan as it is carried over time. Why do people need help in managing the plan that they decided to do? In some ways, the hard part is getting people to figure out what they want to do. What area of their life that they, you know, what area of your life are you struggling with? What area of your life would you like to see some improvement? What area in your life would you like to go to the next level? That's the hard part. Then the second part is sort of, well, okay, now once we have an area, you know, I want a better marriage, or I want to go to the next level with my work, or I want to plant a church, whatever that goal might be. Now it's just a matter of breaking down that goal into its many parts. What are all the steps? That's what a plan is. Management is now, you know, trying to help people actually do what they said they want to do. In some ways, you would think, well, why do you have to do that? I mean, you know, just here's what it is, here's the plan, go do it. But there are many reasons why people need this. Why do people need help in managing the plan they decided to do? Number one, lack of endurance. So people are enthusiastic when they start something, but as time goes on, they get tired. That's what happened to Nehemiah building the walls. If you read the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem, and the walls are all in shambles, and he, you know, he motivates the people to start to rebuild the walls. But I forget what chapter it is, but there's a verse that says when it got half, the workers quit when the wall got half its height. They started complaining. There were problems. So people start something. They're motivated in the beginning. Maybe you were motivated to take a lot of classes at CLI, but it's harder as you go through. You have the enthusiasm of the new in the beginning of something. You're finally going to get up and make something happen in your life or some area of your life, and you have that initial enthusiasm to carry you through for a while. But eventually it doesn't go exactly how a person plans. There's always bumps in the road. There's always obstacles that you hit. And most people don't have the endurance. They hit an obstacle and they want to quit. Why do people need help in managing the plan that they decided to do? A lack of focus. Okay, without having to come back every week or every 2 weeks to the coach, people are scattered with so many demands. While they're sitting with you, it's very clear this is what they want to do. They're going to do it. But when they leave your office, they experience real life. and the real demands of life all around them. There's demands in the family, there's demands at work, there's demands in the community, there's demands in the church. So the thought of what you want to do in the office and the reality of life are two different things. So a person needs some kind of an accountability system, a coach who they know, in a week is going to ask, well, how did it go? Lack of discipline. Again, people lack discipline. That's why they need a coach in the first place. If someone is extremely disciplined, they probably don't need a coach. They just go and do. Number four, lack of support. Okay, I talked about this way at the very beginning of this class. People, the systems we used to have that would support people into succeeding and doing what they want to do, those systems are falling apart. I remember in the 90s, Henry, Ryan, and I thought, let's try to help people get a walk with God, get people to read their Bibles and to pray daily, to have a daily walk with God in your personal life, in your marriage, and in your family, whole seven connections. And we thought it was going to be easy. And just tell people, this is what we have to do. We've been playing church, and the minister is preaching, and we have all the singing on Sunday, but people aren't doing anything Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So let's just tell people, hey, let's do this Monday through Saturday. Here it is. And we thought it would be easy, and it wasn't. And it wasn't easy because the support systems for all those things have fallen apart. If you go back, when I was raised, people used to eat together, food took a long time to prepare, and my mother mainly did it in our home, and her attitude was, if it's going to take me all this time to prepare this food, we're all going to sit down together, and we're going to be together as a family. I had three other siblings. And while we were eating together, we would read the Bible and we would pray. The eating together was a support system for the prayer and the Bible in the family. But fast food came, and soon families aren't meeting together, and everyone has their own schedule, and everyone's doing their own thing, and the family no longer eats together. And so that support system of eating together that helped a family stay connected to God has disappeared. So not when people try it. I mean, when you bring it up and you say you're not going to have a close family, God is not going to be at the center of your family unless you start doing family devotions. People get it right away and they say, yeah, that's true. Wow, that's amazing. Let's do this. And then the next week they go out and they fail. They fail because the support system whereby people used to succeed is gone. And without the support system, people can't do the very thing that they say they want to do. So, and that's almost true in almost every area of life. The support systems, it used to be family, live near you, your uncles, your aunts, your cousins, your grandparents, and they all helped in shaping and molding the family and the family members and the grandkids. Everyone was in it together. There was this huge support system that helped you succeed in whatever it was that you did. Now we're on our own. And when people are on their own, they don't succeed. We are human beings. We need the support of others. That's what the church is all about. That's why the church is so important. We can't do it on our own. It's not just a matter of you knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is the head of a body. You need to be a part of a group that's doing the same things. See, when you're part of a church and everyone's reading the Bible in their personal life, their marriage, and their family, it's a lot easier because you start putting systems. In our church, we have a devotional, and there's verses to read and questions to answer every single day, and then on Sunday I preach out of that. So I'm trying to give support systems to help people do what they say they want to do in the first place. So that's what a coach does. That's why a coach is necessary. That's why this accountability piece is necessary. Lack of negative consequences. Okay, we live in a rescuing world. We don't want people to feel bad about anything. And so, we let people do things. And when they fail, they don't experience the negative consequences of failing. Back when I was a kid, if I missed the bus, I had to walk. And you know, my parents said, take your bike. Now parents are too afraid, at least in the United States, they're too afraid to let their kids walk to school or take their bike, so the kid misses the bus, and the parents drive them over there. Well, what's the incentive to not miss the bus? If you miss the bus, or if you make the bus, fine. If you miss the bus, it's going to be fine too. See, we're back in the day for myself, if I miss the bus, I got to walk. So I don't want to miss the bus. I experience the negative consequences. So people today aren't feeling all the negative consequences. People need to feel pain to know not to do something. Or if I do this, this is what's going to happen. If I stop walking, walking with God, instead of me personally taking ownership for my walk with God, I just go to a big church where the pastor does the walk with God for me. So I don't experience all the negative consequences of not walking with God, because I have someone else who does it for me. And that's kind of a cultural experience these days. Number six, lack of positive reward. I mean, if you stick with your plan, what do you get? These are the two things that motivate people. It's called the carrot and the stick. The carrot is the thing we want. That's positive. The stick is the negative. I think it comes from riding horses. You feed the horse a carrot, they like it. You hit them with a stick to get them going. And those are the things that motivate us. We try. You touch a hot stove, it's hot, it hurts. And so you don't do that again. We need the negative reinforcement, and we need the positive reinforcement to help manage our stuff and to figure out what we really want to do and what works and what doesn't. Lack of criteria for success. So a lot of times we have goals, but we have no idea, what does that mean? I just met with a couple last night, and they had an issue of a trust issue, and the husband did something, and the wife lost trust, and so I'm asking them, so what do you want to do? What do you want from each other? And one of them said, well, I just want more respect, or I just want to be cared for. But those are so broad and general. I mean, how if my spouse is saying, I want you to, love me more or understand me more, I don't know when I've done that. I mean, what's the criteria for you? I mean, what specifically do I need to do so that I know that I've actually accomplished this thing? It is so broad and so general. So a lot of our goals are just broad. I want to improve. I want to do better. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be in a better walk with God. Those are all just broad, general goals, and there's no real criteria of, well, when have you succeeded at that? A more specific goal would be, I want to walk with God for the next 21 days. I'm going to read one chapter of the Bible. I'm going to spend 5 minutes of prayer. I'm going to do that 21 days in a row. And see, there's a criteria, and someone can hold me accountable to that. They can't hold me accountable to some broad thing to love my spouse more. So this is where management comes in. We're trying to hold you to a specific criteria so that you know when you're making progress. You meet with the coach, and when you're done with the session, you know where you've let things slip, and you know what you've done, and then you know what you have to do yet. What kind of management is not part of coaching? Controlling. So while you're trying to manage, see, management in the broad general sense, if you're a manager in a company, you manage some employees, and your goal is to get them working. Make sure that they accomplish the goals of the company. And so you're always trying to motivate and trying to remind. Okay, and a lot of times it's controlling. I want them to do what I want them to do. Okay, in this coaching process, you're not trying to get them to do what you want them to do. You're trying to get them to do what they want to do. And if you're going to try to let them do what they want to do, then you can't be controlling. If you're controlling, then you're trying to make them do what you want them to do. So things like this. These are the kinds of things that we sometimes say as a coach, and it's a veiled, you know, we might be asking questions, but we're leading our client on. We're trying to control them with our questions. Whenever you start a sentence like this, don't you think you should? See, the client is doing this one thing, but don't you think you should do this? Now I'm making a suggestion. See, I need to let the client make the suggestion, not me. Wouldn't it be better if, okay, the client is struggling, let's say, in a certain area, and a husband and wife are struggling. And you can see that they're struggling, what they're doing is not working, and so you want to jump in and you want to rescue them, and so you might say something, wouldn't it be better if you did this or did that? But you see, now I'm controlling the situation. In my experience, okay, this is a typical, you know, in pastoral care, this is typical in counseling. You have all this experience with people, and now you see someone that's hurting, and so you gravitate towards saying, you're sharing your experience. My experience, I've seen couples just like you, and this is what they did, and this is what happens, and this is where it goes. But again, remember, in coaching, it's not about your experience, it's about the client's experience. You're not the focal point, the client is. So management is not controlling. Number two, it's not guilting or shaming. These are motivation techniques. Guilty, you're making someone feel guilty or making them feel bad about what they've done. Questions like this. What is it going to take to get you to do what you said you were going to do? So a client, you know, makes a plan. He's going to do something before the next meeting. You meet the next time and you ask, well, how did it go? And the client says, well, I really didn't have time. And maybe you have patience the first time. You go like, okay, so how are we going to make time for next week? You meet it a week later. Well, what happened? Well, this happened. I was going to do it on Wednesday, but then this thing happened and there was nothing I could do. And so it gets very frustrating. And see, you want to motivate them. Hey, do you want to do this or don't you? See, I'm frustrated as a coach because you're not doing as I expect. And I don't feel like as a coach I'm succeeding. Okay? But again, it's not about you. It's not about you succeeding. It's about the client succeeding. And sometimes you have to let the client struggle a little bit without making him feel guilty. That's their issue. If they don't want to accomplish anything, that's their problem, not yours. How do you expect things to change in your life if you don't, Again, these are all statements that there are questions that make someone feel guilty. You're trying to motivate by making them feel guilty. How do you feel about wasting your time and mine as well? That's when you're really frustrated as a coach, because week after week and they don't do anything, then what's the point of us meeting? Let them figure out and let them finally come to the conclusion or the question, what is the point of our meeting together, rather than you doing it. What kind of management is not part of coaching? Pushing and directing. Don't you think it would be better if? You're going to give a suggestion. I found after many years of experience that I think if we spent more energy on this thing, things would go better. Judging. Don't you think we're just avoiding this issue? Don't you think you're just avoiding the issue? So, you're meeting with a client. He's frustrated with the goal and the plan that he's trying to accomplish. He's meeting obstacles and things in the way. And you know why. You know what the problem is. And you want to point it out. Instead of patiently waiting for your client to figure it out for themselves. See, because if they figure it out themselves, they're really going to adopt it and understand it. If you tell them, it's just another thing that someone has told them. We get told things all the time. People around us are always willing to throw in what they think about our problem. People have heard a mountain of things, and it doesn't stick. The things that stick are the things that a person figures out for themselves. So Don't you think you're just avoiding this issue? Because isn't the issue your father? Or isn't the issue that you're not forgiving your spouse or whatever it might be? So I'm taking charge of this situation. I'm not letting the client figure it out. Why didn't you do what I said you were going to do? Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? So I'm judging you. Well, that wasn't very good, was it? So the coach does, or the client does something, it doesn't turn out well, and then you make a judgmental comment about it. You're not the judge. You're not the mother or the father in this situation, you know, reminding the child that, you know, well, that wasn't a bright thing to do. You should, you know, this is what you should do. You're not the teacher. You're not the pastor. You're the coach. You're just trying to help them figure out things for themselves. Maybe it is time to try something new out because what we are doing is not working. Again, as the coach, you're the one trying to find a way out of the frustration rather than let the client deal with the frustration themselves. They have to figure out the way out of the frustration, not you. What kind of management is part of coaching? Making the client accountable to the decision to do something about some aspect of his or her life and the plan chosen to make it happen. So, now we're on the positive side. We looked at some of the things that coaching is not. This is what it is. How can I hold this guy, this client, this person, accountable to the thing that he decided to do? Well, how does one do that? And that's what we're going to look at next time.